Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Coming up on this episode of Belief Hole.
My sisters had confessed after strange things kept happening. They had played with the board. And I seen the old lady. She started coming towards me. But here's the kicker. She was crawling down the wall.
Yeah. The idea that it came through a Ouija board could be a different entity or something using that tragic energy to reform itself in this other house following those girls. Who knows, man?
Creepy, 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 creepy.
About the third house on the left was a triangular-shaped UFO. There was a second one hovering just above the treetop on Cedar Avenue.
Yeah.
Hovering over someone's house, right above the ham radio antenna, is just an eerie visual. And the fact that there were two there and they were just sitting above people's homes.
It's super creepy to think about.
Is this an abduction scenario this guy happens to come upon? For some reason, they're not cloaked completely. He can make out the outline. Creepy. Yeah. Very creepy. Also reminds me of hippos.
Sure.
Out of that darkness, the Grim Reaper appeared. Full body cloak, scythe, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty creepy.
The fact that he put his hand on his mom, it's a nice touch.
Yeah, it's almost like there's a familiarity there. Like he knows everybody. Yeah. He's like, how's mom doing?
I can just so visualize it in my head, like just coming out, you know, with his scythe or whatever it is. Weird, too, that he says it was like a calming feeling. Sort of how like a mosquito numbs you. That,
like an anesthetic.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't there to, you know, take your soul away.
It almost reminds me of like angels, going back to angels again. These kind of descriptions of entities that aren't born, right? Because you need nipples and navels when you're born. You need to connect you to your mother and to...
If you're a mammal.
Yeah, if you're a mammal.
Why do you need nipples?
To feed your young.
Oh, you're talking about a female.
Yeah, yeah.
We have no use for our nipples.
It is odd.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell, like, yeah, there's a cold breeze.
I'm not a fan of
maybe some men dig it. Anyways.
My nipples. Although it would look weird if we didn't have them.
Exactly.
It'd be like not having eyebrows.
Okay, now let me... This is my point.
Conspiracy.
Synchronicity.
Sasquatch.
Homunculus.
Alien races.
Satanism in Hollywood.
MK Ultra.
Tartaria.
There's like a whole... I've been watching this one guy.
Close the door, in.
Jury! Close your door!
What's the,
Inner Earth. Disagreements.
Ghost Dad.
I like that movie.
Dogman.
Bohemian Grove.
Corey Feldman.
Magicians are demons.
Spectres.
Spirits.
Sleep paralysis.
Strange disappearances.
Sky whale phenomena.
Yes!
Alternative history.
Shadow people.
Shh, quiet, I'm trying to say words with the mouth.
It's getting dicey out there.
Poltergeists.
That's cool.
Anunnaki.
What is the moon?
Elf towers.
I would never talk about it. That's old.
Y2K.
Cover-ups.
Apocalyptic catastrophe.
Vampire.
Well, hello, hello.
We are back.
We're back. It feels good. It feels really good. We missed you guys.
You guys need new chairs, though.
But, yeah.
You're sitting in lawn chairs right now.
It's true. I feel very relaxed, but uncomfortable.
We took the good chairs to your house so
yes.
We could do a live stream and look cool.
Yes, any of you guys who participated in the live stream or saw the replay, it's available now. If you want to check it out, subscribe to our YouTube, smash that like button, leave your comments in the comments below.
Yes!
We had our nice chairs there, and now we don't have them here, so...
They're kind of a pain to move, so now they have lawn chairs. But Daddy Big Boy still has the big chair.
That's how John is referring to himself now. This is going to be a great episode, guys. Coming back with listener stories. We've got so many great listener stories. A mile long list.
Pretty creepy ones.
Yeah.
Well, at least the one. You know the one.
Oh, I know the one we were talking about before the show.
I don't think I've seen any of the other ones yet, but...
You're talking about the Grim Reaper. An actual account of
Yeah,
Grim Reaper.
I've never heard of an actual Grim Reaper account. I always thought it was just made up, but maybe there's some validity to it.
Of course, you have the folklore. You have references back to, like, the Saturn symbolism. Traditionally, like, Saturn is depicted with the Reaper or the sigh.
Yeah. Or sickle.
Father Time, like these are all kind of similar archetypes, I guess you could say, of the Grim Reaper death, the bringer of the end. This just came in right before the show. If we had more time, I'm sure we could find corroborating accounts of Grim Reaper. But yeah, I swear I've heard stories about that.
Oh yeah, they're out there for sure.
But yeah, it is a weird. I like it because it'd be like witnessing bizarre accounts of Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. Like we're...
I feel like a little bit more...
Well, it's more supernatural.
Terrifying.
Darker.
Well, and also, I just think that there's probably more legitimacy to...
Oh,
I don't
for
know,
sure.
Know why,
for sure.
Because you are going to die.
Right.
But Santa Claus...
More likely.
I just like... Less likely. I like that it's a traditional figure that we have, like, in society. And, I mean, everyone kind of goes, oh, that's obviously, like, a cartoon idea.
Right.
I just like the idea that it could be real. Yeah. There's something about that supernatural visage. That
I wonder if it got started maybe by people had brushes with near death like this guy did.
Yeah. Oh,
and
definitely.
Then maybe they had tales that's how it started. Like I saw this person with a
yeah.
With
well,
a,
even
with
the
Sith. Is that what it's
Scythe?
Scythe? I don't know.
even with the near-death experience episodes we did, some of the darker stories that we didn't really cover, but there were stories of what would look like a Grim Reaper just without his, you know, his device.
His device.
What do you mean? Know, the sickle thing. But I was thinking, what could that be for? Last night I was kind of thinking, oh, well, we've done episodes on out-of-body experiences, the silver cord. What if it's just like a little... like an astral cord?
For those that don't know, the silver cord is supposed to, link your body with your astral self, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would...
This is not an impossible thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in the whole, it seems likely.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I thought it was more to like cut your head off, but that doesn't make sense because
you're already dead.
There's
just
dead.
A whole swath of people with their heads removed.
I don't know. It just seems like a cool prop.
Yeah, definitely impressive.
Maybe he's a really nice guy and he just does it to like...
Might just keep you from running, like as a soul. Like you see that, you're like, okay, what do you need me to do?
Well, we'll get to that story. Then we might have an idea of what his purpose is.
We have some great stories coming up,
we
guys.
We do. We don't just have old Grim Reaper. We've got some awesome sky triangle crafts. We've got a Ouija woman walking down walls. Yeah! We've got fluid beings in the forest.
What?
And a lot more.
Okay, you said so many things there that just made me go, what? Woman walking down walls, fluid
all
beings.
True accounts.
All true.
True as these people's word is.
Huh?
True as these people word is.
There
oh, that's
he's
what you
learning. He's learning.
True as people word is.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. Twice in a row.
Yeah, no, like their word.
Oh, true as their word.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes some sense.
True
okay.
as their word is.
True as people's word is.
It just sounds dislocated. It sounds like a very odd phrase.
Yeah. I like it though.
It does make sense though, right?
Mm-hmm. Beliefful podcast. True as people word is.
No, I said true as it's maybe probably not the best way to say that, but true as the people, whatever. As true as their word is.
Right. Sounds legit.
Yeah, and I believe them.
I know what I want.
You listeners are going to get to decide, do you believe them?
Yes.
I personally do.
You left out a fantastic story we have that's actually going to take us into the expansion from Bailey Baumberger.
Oh, that's right.
It's about a winged creature encounter.
Those are always fun.
Really, really interesting. It's basically a flying humanoid in Missouri. And if you ever want to find a freaking flying humanoid, you go to Missouri.
Really?
As much as you hear about the Chicago sightings, Illinois.
Right, Mothman.
Yeah. Looking for corroboration for her story, I found oddly similar stories in that area around the same time describing unique features that she saw with her low-flying humanoid over her vehicle as she was driving. So that's going to be a fascinating story, and it ties into the expansion, which is about, well, it's the butterfly people.
Oh.
The butterfly people of Joplin, Missouri.
Cool.
And John's going to be excited because it involves tornadoes.
Oh no.
Your favorite.
I know.
You love NATOs.
I had a dream about a NATO.
Last night?
A couple nights ago.
What happened?
I was out running. the day before. I was running and I was got really far away and I saw these menacing looking storm clouds.
These just sound like someone's child. He was running and he had gotten really far away.
And far away from my home. And I looked at my radar and I saw this like tornado red cloud.
It's terrifying.
And so I sprinted back like 2 miles. It was really hard. And then I had a dream that night about, you know, a tornado.
That's freaky, dude. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Planted that in you.
It makes sense.
The expansion, knew you'd enjoy it because I've gathered a few clips and a couple of them are from storm chasers from the actual Joplin tornado. Do you remember that story? Joplin, Missouri, this town was decimated.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, pretty tragic.
It was an F5.
At one point it became an F5, went right through town, 6 mile long trail of damage. But I think it was on the ground for 22 miles, mile wide.
God, can you imagine a mile wide tornado?
I think it killed like 160 some people.
It was about 150, 160, I believe.
Sad.
What's really interesting is what happens when this tornado comes is all these children claim that they saw these butterfly people that rescued them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Save them. And so that's going to be fascinating. What's interesting too is the adults didn't see them, but the adults couldn't explain some of the things that happened. Like a truck was coming to slam right in them and then seemed to halt in midair or get pushed to the side right before it hit. And the kid would say, "Mommy, weren't their wings beautiful?"
Maybe they're like angels.
It's also like this is the heart of the Bible Belt. Some people refer to it as the buckle of the Bible Belt. So obviously a lot of them refer to them as angels,
right.
But some of them refer to them as this kind of separate phenomenon. But it's fascinating.
No, that does sound pretty interesting.
Yeah, some of it even sounded like fairy representation.
Sounds like we got some good ones today. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. I just want to say what's crazy, and the reason we got into that is because Bailey mentions that because she looked up later flying humanoids in Joplin is where she had her experience, and she came across the butterfly people.
Yeah.
So she suggested I look into that, and it's fascinating. It ties in, but beyond that, it's like there's the separate flying humanoid type thing that's a little more earthy, a little more primordial, and I think creepy.
Cool.
But we'll get into it. It's gonna be fascinating.
Let's get it on.
Yeah, a little roar in there. All right, guys, shall we begin with a fluid being in the forest?
Yes, I don't know what that means, though.
Oh, you'll find out. Like a water looking. It's more like a glimmer man, really.
Like an elemental.
A glimmer being, like we've covered before.
One more time.
Storm's getting closer.
I didn't like the ending of that first one. It got cut off.
It did get cut off.
The file got truncated.
Good word.
Thank you. Florid.
Huh?
Florid. Do you know what florid means? Florid. It means unnaturally red.
Oh.
Like the man's face was florid.
Is this your daily word thing? Word of the day.
You know what laconic means?
Yeah, we already talked about that for about 10 minutes on a show.
Uh-uh.
This season,
I don't think we talked about laconic.
Laconic, yeah. Because we talked about Clint Eastwood.
Oh, the Spartans.
It was a great conversation, but we had it.
Dictum.
Mm-hmm. That was the last episode.
You guys got to read that memory book that I'm reading.
I will.
It's insane. Like, you can remember anything.
You didn't remember that we had both of those conversations.
Well, that's before he got the memory book.
That's true.
Now he remembers everything.
It takes practice, but the tricks that I've learned are very effective.
Yeah. What's the memory book called?
I can't remember.
We'll have it in the show.
I can't remember.
Something simple. It's not like an interesting, it's like expand your memory or something like that.
Everyone who's about to buy it is just like, well, it's just like it's working.
That is pretty funny. All righty. Well, let's jump into the stories. I'm sorry for delaying.
All right, let's get into it. Fluid Being in the Forest by Shannon Wellington.
I've been hunting the Allegheny National Forest in Pennsylvania since I was 12. My grandfather had a camp there. One year back in the early 90s, we were all up for opening day of buck season. We always went spotting the night before for something to do. I was around 14 years old at the time, and so were two of my cousins. My uncle and an older cousin took us spotting at night around the area. They rode up front of the truck, and us three kids rode in the back. We pulled into a gravel pit which had a high bank on the backside about 15 to 20 feet up on a slope. We usually see deer when we pull in, so I was looking through the cab of the truck, and each cousin was looking out the backside windows looking forward. In the headlights, I seen what was about 4 or 5 feet in length and maybe a foot around, almost cylindrical in shape, but was fluid-like. It looked like the alien in the movie The Abyss.
What does that sound like to you? That sounds like Glimmer Man sort of stuff to me.
Oh, the shimmery, kind of translucent. It shot up the bank on an angle,
and then back down. Then back up and was gone. I came back inside the truck bed, just as both cousins did almost simultaneously. We all looked at each other and said, "Did you see that?" We all seen the same thing at three different angles, but later when we asked our uncle and cousin who were sitting up front, they said they hadn't seen anything. None of us could figure out what we saw. Later on, a few years ago, we were on our way up to camp. We were listening to Coast when we heard David Pilates on talking about Missing 411. He talked about the Predator in the Woods segment that Jan McAbee saw in Ohio while hunting, and it sent chills down my spine, as it felt like the same thing I saw many years ago.
I thought that was a good story to start with. Just bizarre.
Yeah.
We covered, remember Jan's story?
Mm-hmm.
The story where she's hunting and she sees this thing moving from tree to tree, this big blur of an object. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Glimmer Man.
Yeah. Just another Glimmer Man account. I feel like they're getting more
prevalent,
common. I mean, it ties in with so many things. It just makes sense to me that that's definitely something that's possibly out there. People going missing, stories of seeing things in the forest. I mean, it could be Bigfoot, just, you know, cloaking up.
Cloaking up.
Cloaking up.
Can I read the next one?
Absolutely, John.
All right, this one is called Ouija Woman in the Hall.
No, thank you.
I want to start off by saying my name is Chris Curtis, and I'm from McEwen, Tennessee. I was probably 6 or 7 years old when I lived in an apartment with my mom and stepdad, every other weekend with my two sisters. Well, one weekend I was over, my sisters kept bugging me to swap rooms. They kept getting scared in their bedroom. Said they seen a lady walk out of the closet and down the hall. Well, they made me switch with them. I never had a problem with that bedroom until the night the tornado alarms were going off, which is a horrifying sound.
Yeah.
I went to go down the hall to my parents in the living room, and there she was, blocking me. She started coming towards me, but here's the kicker. She was crawling down the wall.
Yikes.
I screamed and cried. I still see it vividly to this day, and I'm now 23. I wouldn't stay there no more after that. When they moved, come to find out an old lady had died and the place caught on fire. Maybe it was her, but I don't know.
That is terrifying.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't think about this the first time I read Chris's story, but if it was potentially the woman that had died there, mm-hmm. it would make sense that there's a tornado alarm going off. So emergency, disaster. Wouldn't it trigger the fire, you know, the death and the fire, another disaster taking place?
I mean, the tornado, like, you know, that. Is that what you're... So there's multiple tornadoes?
I didn't know. This is what's synchronicity. Weird. There's a couple in here that happened to somehow involve a reference to tornado. This is how our Listener Stories episodes always unfold. They seem to bring in stories that are somehow interconnected, like they were meant to be joined.
Little motifs.
Synchronicity.
Exactly.
That's weird, though.
So this next part's interesting, and it gives some background on potentially how this all started. Maybe what opened a corridor for the spirit to come through, and it might not have been the woman that died in that fire.
About a year or two before I saw the old woman, we had rented an old house in the middle of town, and that's where my sisters played with the Ouija board. At night, shadows would go across the wall and my doorknobs would turn and click. I had a set of old army men, they were metal, and one night, they vanished into thin air. My sisters had confessed after strange things kept happening, they had played with the board. And my mom was kind of mad about it, but we packed and moved into the apartment, and that's when it sort of followed us there. But it didn't mess with me, and I seen the old lady, and it must have stayed because of my ex-girlfriend had a friend that lived there after, and she had strange lights in her room, and doors would open and close, but she never seen anything or anyone.
Creepy. It's interesting because in that story, you find out the background that his sisters were the ones that were playing with this Ouija board. And then later in that next place, they're the ones who were being petrified every night by the spirit. So it's as if it left him alone because he hadn't maybe drawn it out. Possibly.
You turned my thought about the story because initially I was thinking, well, firstly, I'll never look at a scene in one of those cheesy horror movies where something climbing up the wall and think right. That's dumb.
Ridiculous.
I will never look at that and think that now. I'll think, well, this guy actually saw something climbing up the wall. So that's kind of extra creepy and weird.
Yeah.
And the idea of, like you said, the storm maybe triggering an echo of the event of her death, replaying that, allowing that to come through, you know, the urgency of that moment, triggering that energy, right? And then you see the recreation of kind of, or a version of that, this thing trying, and I wonder if she was trying to get away crawling up the wall, because that made me think that, like, if there's a fire, like, you're thinking, I need to just get up and get out, and
yeah.
Even in a supernatural kind of way. But then the idea that it's, it came through a Ouija board, could be a different entity or something using that tragic memory or tragic energy to reform itself in this other house following those girls. Who knows, man? So I guess at the end of this, because I asked him, John, you're always curious to know these things. How did it end? The woman's climbing down the wall, but the account was missing. Where did it go? So I made sure to reach out to him. And he said it seemed to scurry off into his parents' bedroom.
What?
It was the first door on the right.
Ugh.
It was blocking him at first, and then it went. Can you imagine being like one of his parents and hearing that later?
Yeah.
Pretty terrifying. I'm glad the activity stopped, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you're free from wall-crawling women in your life.
Yeah. This next story is pretty fascinating.
Oh, this is the Grim Reaper.
This is a glimpse of the Reaper. So this story comes to us from James Malone Jr. And this is a fascinating story. This is very unique. So this occurred in Wyandotte, Michigan, which is just south of Detroit. And it happened at the Henry Ford Wyandotte Hospital. This is a story. When I was 21 years old, I needed surgery for a bilateral hernia. I had the surgery on a Thursday, and that following Sunday, I wasn't feeling well. I was in a lot of pain, very clammy, couldn't sleep, and from above my belly button down to my knees, I was red and radiating heat. I was taken to the hospital, and they said I had a bad infection. They gave me 3 antibiotics and morphine. As soon as they administered the morphine, it felt like someone had dug a large knife in my lower ribs on my left side. I turned to my mom, who was in the corner of the room, and told her I was dying. As I said this, that very corner right behind my mom grew extremely dark. Out of that darkness, the Grim Reaper appeared. Full body cloak, scythe, the whole 9 yards. He placed his hand on my mom's shoulder, stared at me for a few seconds, shook his head, then slid right back into the corner and disappeared. It felt so real and very terrifying. After that, they discovered I had a blood clot in my lung and told me if I didn't go to the hospital when I did, I would not have woken up in the morning. Thanks, guys. Love the show. Just wanted to share the experience with you.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty creepy.
The fact that he put his hand on his mom, that's pretty, yeah, it's just like a nice touch.
It's almost like there's a familiarity there. Like he knows everybody. Yeah. He's like, oh, it's your mom. How's mom doing?
I can just so visualize it in my head, like just coming out, you know, with this Sith and just like putting his hand on his mom's shoulder. And he just shakes his head like it's not quite
not
your time.
And then just slinks back away. Well, yeah, it's interesting. He's feeling he's going to die. He looks at mom. He's like, mom, I'm going to die. I wonder if he was picking up that Mr. Grimm was about to show up. Mm-hmm. Like, so he felt that presence of death. And he's like, mom, I'm about to die. Comes through the wall. And then he's like taking in the situation. He's like, not quite yet. And that part where he would have died because of that clot in his lung, had he not come in, maybe Grim Reaper didn't get the message that he had come into the hospital. So things were going to be fine. Like while he was traveling, I don't know. But it's really, really unique story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to follow up with him because it is quite terrifying on the face of it. I asked him, did you feel like a sinisterness or an evil energy? Did you get this sort of malevolent, like it wanted to take your soul or something, like in a negative way? And thank God his response was,
I would say he seemed to be doing his job, but didn't go through with it. I wasn't totally terrified until I took the time to think of it a few days later while I was still in the hospital. At the time of seeing him, it almost seemed like it was a calming, quiet feeling. When he went back into the corner, that's when reality seemed to return. It's definitely something I don't want to experience anytime soon.
Yeah, so it seemed like he became scared after the fact, thinking back on it.
Right.
Which is what happens a lot.
It's weird, too, that he says it was like a calming feeling.
Uh-huh.
Sort of how like a mosquito
numbs
you.
Oh, I was just thinking that, like an anesthetic.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't there to, you know, take your soul
John,
away.
I like that. It's a creepy idea.
It's calming you.
Yeah, he's like, it's okay. As he like wraps you in his spider web, you know?
Yeah, it's like he is just a calming presence, so you don't fight
him.
So
run away. It was like the ET phenomenon, the abduction phenomenon, same idea.
And we'll have those coming up.
Those are generally more scary than this, I feel like. Just because Maybe they're not as good with the anesthetic. I swear I've heard accounts similar to this before with a Grim Reaper style entity coming to take somebody, and where the visage was sort of terrifying, the energy of it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like it's just something part of reality, part mm-hmm. of our life experience, this transition state where you just have
the
sky.
It's the Sith that is the most scary, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe the scythe or whatever it is. Blade thingy is really there. It serves a function. It's not to intimidate or
right.
scare.
It could be like astral.
I don't know, but.
It could be in the astral sense, physical, like a physically cut the astral cord, right. you know? Well, yeah. And if you listen to accounts of near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, that plane, that astral plane is actually pretty physical. As in like when you're there, there is physical elements yeah. to it. And it is connected to this physical realm in where if you have something happen to your astral body here, it'll manifest some way in the physical form, and you might not be able to understand why something has happened to body.
Oh, creepy.
But I was just going to play this real quick. It is...
Scythe.
Scythe.
Scared me. So I wonder where that came from.
So it is Scythe. Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you for that story. Very unique.
That was terrific.
Yeah, that was a good addition.
I was going to mention the anesthetic idea. It's just weird, these synchronicities, because later in Bailey's story with the winged creature that flies over her truck,
mm-hmm.
she said she should have been terrified, but for some reason when she looked at it, this giant monster that she saw flying over her car.
Is it a monster? I thought it was a fairy winged creature.
No, that's a different. That's in Joplin where she was. Other reports during the tornado were like rescuing
that's
type
That's in the
figures.
Expansion.
There's another thing?
Hers sounds almost more like definitely earthly, definitely like physical,
uh-huh.
humanoid, winged humanoid creature.
Oh, okay.
But we'll get into the way she describes it. One of the things she said is like she, instead of looking up at this thing and seeing and being terrified, she felt like she was telepathically calmed, almost like she was looking at like a field of cows. Like it was that calm and just like, oh,
that always calms
me. There it goes. And then she didn't like, I think later on she realized how freaky it was. But in the time she said she felt like the thing almost maybe had calmed her. Like, don't freak out. It's just a weird kind of synchronicity with your story.
It's like a reverse low frequency. What's the large cats use?
Infrasound.
Like a reverse infrasound.
Yeah. yeah.
Instead of terrifying you, it calms you.
Maybe it was a Grim Reaper in a squirrel suit.
All right, we're going to move on.
What a dumb comment.
You know, see, because Grim Reaper had the thing where he could calm you.
All
like
right,
it's
Jeremy.
The same, same entity in a different outfit. Let's take God. That speculation back a little.
I thought this would be a good time to do our first speak pipe.
Ooh, let's do.
And this comes from a familiar voice, Simon Von Elg.
Simon Von Elg.
Simon, it's been a while,
classic.
Sir.
And this account's really fascinating. He has some that we have in the archive. By the way, guys, archive should be live and active and growing by the time of this episode drops. So feel free to send in your stories. We'll have them on the archive, and then many of them will end up on the air.
We're developing quite the collection. We could probably write a book at this point.
Mm-hmm. That's in the plans.
It's going to be really fun, guys. Definitely check out our website. By the time this is out, we will have the listener stories blog live. We're going to be slowly adding more and more stories, but mm-hmm. it's going to be a really cool place to go and gather
It'll
stories.
It'll be cool because you'll be able to search within categories. If you want to find stories that seem like other ones, you have your own account. You want to see if anybody else has had an account similar to yours, you'll be able to go on our site and kind of map
awesome.
It out.
We also have DJ Benson Stinger.
Awesome. He'll be excited for that.
Yes!
Little Deej. All right. So let's do Red Hand Summoned. Submitted by Simon Von Elg. This is a really fascinating account. Very unique. We got some really unique ones this time.
Red Hand Summoned.
So I tend to move around a lot, but right now my girlfriend and I and our dog are staying on Martha's Vineyard. And we're staying in a loft kind of space. And the bed is just, you know, downstairs, just sort of in the big open room. And in the ceiling, there's these skylights. A lot of times I'll, you know, look out at the moon or whatever through the trees and the skylights. So it's kind of got like a little bit of a creepy vibe at night. But, you know, we've been here for a few months and it's pretty normal. But there was one night where, you know, I'm sleeping like you do, and I don't know why, but I suddenly just wake up, like really suddenly, and I'm completely alert, and my eyes just opened like wide, which normally I'm groggy or whatever, but this time it was like crystal clear, and floating above my head is like a I don't know how to describe it other than it's like a wireframe hand that's red, and it's poised over me in such a way that I got the sensation that it was like casting a spell or something. And it was just like sticking out of nothingness.
That's weird.
And the second that I saw it, it was like it retreated. It noticed that I saw it, and it retreated through, I don't know, like a slit in reality, or just like pulled back through like the veil, so to speak. It was terrifying. I don't really know what it was. It definitely looked extra dimensional. It didn't look like a human hand. It looked more like, you know, like a 3D render almost, or almost like a 3D printed hand. But
weird.
Maybe made of energy or something. Anyway, scared the shit out of me. Had a hard time going back to sleep that night. Couldn't sleep very well for the following nights. But that one was very strange and stuck out to me as kind of like a what the fuck thing. Because, I mean, I've heard a lot about paranormal stuff, but nothing like that. So, don't know what it was, but enjoy the story.
Very strange.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we've heard of this before, the disembodied hand phenomenon.
Yeah.
Manifesting. Like this was big in Victorian times.
With physical mediumship and stuff.
Show that where this little hand walk around?
Adam's Family?
Yeah.
Was
it Adam's Family?
Was it Thing or It?
Thing.
One of them. One of those guys.
Thing, you're a handful.
That was always weirded me out seeing. Because I always thought like there's an actor moving his hand around. You know, the snap. Good show. Poor Christina Ricci. You know, she got typecast after that.
That's true.
Because she was kind of a odd little kid playing Wednesday, remember? Mm-hmm. Anyway, these disembodied hands, right? So common thing. I remember when he first sent this in, I found something specifically. I was trying to find like red disembodied hands. Mm-hmm. But it does remind me of like the Skull Project when they used to do these spirit readings or mediumship.
Yeah, disembodied hands are one of the most common phenomenon that occurs during physical mediumship mm-hmm. sessions or seances. And there's some discussion about because there's only so much energy you can put in to manifest into this reality. So right. The hand is something that you might want to do because it's somewhat useful and recognizable.
Yeah, imagine if you just put in your elbow, like that was the energy you had and you couldn't.
Wait, is that a butt?
Couldn't do anything with it?
Is that a butt?
But yeah, with Simon's account, it's uniquely strange because it is red and wireframey right. And almost like a simulation
well,
sort
you
of.
Said the reason why you called it Red Hand Summon was because you thought it sounded almost like witchcraft.
Well, he said the way it was positioned or poised above him was in such a way that it made him feel like it was casting a spell, which I thought definitely yeah. interesting comment to make.
Well, it reminds me of, I remember hearing these stories and I always wanted to do an episode on this. And I know like the witchcraft thing, like people are touchy about it. Like, hey, don't misrepresent witches today, which I get. But there used to be, you would have like covens, if you want to call them, or small organizations in maybe early colonial days.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have your midwives in his way of life for spiritual energetic protection, but also just natural protection. I remember hearing the story
herbs too, just herb work.
Yeah,
it was looked on as
it was
as
kind
like,
of mixed yeah. together. But I remember specifically the story about these kind of warring covens. They would battle energetically and send...
Oh, this sounds familiar, yeah.
Send entities or spirits, demons to do their bidding against the other coven. And one coven was able to capture it and turn it back on the other coven and destroyed it. And these are like old, old stories.
I'm rubber, you're glue, whatever bounces off me sticks to you.
Whatever demons bounce off me sticks to you. It does kind of remind me, not that you're cursed, Simon, or there's anyone after you, but the idea of like this hand coming out of the nothingness and then
right.
slowly slithering away, maybe it was the wrong guy, kind of like the Grim Reaper story.
Yeah.
Or probably because he woke up and he noticed it. He's like, oh, I don't want to get out of here. Can't be caught.
But yeah, and especially in shamanistic practices all around the world, using entities to do your bidding on an astral level or something, that's really common. I mean, there's a lot more, I think, pushback on that when it comes to, you know, witches from the 15th, 16th century. But in shamanistic practices, that's pretty common. Native, really? A lot of Native American traditions too.
Are you an expert on this?
I'm an expert. Okay, next one is another clip. This comes from Shane, and I call it, It Drew Him to the Pregnant Hill.
Hey there, buddies. I wanted to speak about
hey, Shane.
An instance that I had when I was about 12 to 13 years old. I grew up in New Mexico. I still live here. The house I grew up in was a single-story home with a window right next to my bed, which is going to play into the story. One night, I remember having this crazy dream where I went to this park. We all called this park Pregnant Park because there was a giant hill just in the middle of it that resembled a pregnant woman. So, anyway, in my dream, I remember walking to the very top of this park on that hill. And I don't know, the best way I could describe it is this sound, like kind of like a foghorn / bass blast. Really like the sounds the crafts were making in that War of the Worlds movie. And there was a bright light. And I just remember feeling like, not scared, but just like happy. And
weird.
I wake up from this dream with my dad coming into my bedroom asking if I had just snuck out. And I asked, no. Why? And he said he heard my window slam. And then he got up and came and checked on me. And again, the weirdest thing was I live on a single-story home with the window right next to my bed. I actually didn't have a screen on that window because I think I did use it to get in and out a couple times. But anyway, everything about that just felt extremely real. I do remember that bright light and the real visceral feeling of just the foghorn / bass blast just louder than anything I've ever heard, just encompassing me. And again, like, I wasn't scared. I wasn't worried. I felt almost happy. And that's just the weirdest shit ever.
It's definitely weird, man.
I'm yeah.
Thank you, Shane. That
weirdest shit ever.
Yeah, that's a great clip. You got to pull that. Yeah, crazy story.
So, yeah, it's super interesting.
Could it be a dream? Well, what brings it home is the fact that when he's woken up, or what feels like woken up from this, it's his dad running in saying, right. Did you just go outside? Your window just slammed shut.
Right.
So that, I think, to me is a sort of damning part of the experience.
It's not 100% certain, but it definitely adds some interesting flavor.
Yeah.
Especially since it felt so real to him. I mean, mm-hmm.
So was the implication there then that something was coming into the room? Well, he had left.
They brought him through the window or something.
His dream anyway was that he was up on Pregnant Hill looking up at this craft, and then all of a sudden he wakes up after the thing slammed.
Something may have brought him back.
Brought him back.
Oh, that's interesting.
A really interesting idea. And well, the other reason why I thought this would work so well is we have another clip I'm going to play. And remember that bass that he reports?
Yeah.
That strange bass that was affecting him comes through the next story pretty intensely.
It protrudes.
It protrudes like a pregnant park.
It engenders itself.
Nice, John. Yeah, you're doing good with this book.
I love the these smirks you have after you say one of these words. It's great.
Exceptional work. Shall we play the corresponding speak pipe we got?
Here we go.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name's Ryan. I'm from Missouri. I've been listening to you guys since the beginning, and with all this UFO talk lately, I thought I'd share my little story I had of when I thought I saw a UFO. It's probably like 15 years ago. We had just moved into a new house. And it was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got woke up by... I didn't hear anything, but it was almost like I felt something, almost like a vibration or like some kind of, you know, like a drumming or something like that. And I remember waking up, and for whatever reason, I felt like I just needed to look outside. And whenever I looked outside, passing above our house was a large triangle-shaped something. It was really dark outside. It was really overcast, but you could see like the outline of something going along. It's huge. the only thing I can compare it to that I'm from Kansas City is like Arrowhead Stadium or like Kauffman Stadium.
It's massive.
Like something that big passing over. Like I said, it was almost like you could feel it in your chest, almost like bass as it was going over. And
it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I remember seeing that and saying like, well, you know, that was, I don't know what that was. So I went back to bed. When I woke up the next morning, you know, my parents are talking about that they thought there was like an earthquake or something. Not a big one, but you know, sometimes you get those miniature earthquakes that kind of just barely shake the house. And, you know, they're talking about how they thought something like that had happened because they felt like their bed was shaking. And you know, it's kind of like what I was describing that I felt that made me like get out of bed. So yeah, that was kind of weird. I didn't do any research into it, see if anybody else seen it. I didn't really think too much of it until recently whenever all this talk, but yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. Again, that's such a common thing, that triangle craft that's almost the same color as the sky, just like a dark matte, almost invisible, but just enough that you can notice it's blocking out stars. Phoenix Lights was a lot like that.
I feel like the, if you guys remember the pyramid UFO episode we did recently, remember that weird one that was kind of hard to believe because it was the kid had this battle with this translucent kind of, he thought was an alien, and it like he went to stab it and he stabbed his knee and then he was taken to the hospital.
I don't remember this.
You don't remember this?
No.
This is like the end of the pyramid UFO story.
Really?
We were all kind of like, this is a little out there. I mean, obviously, but the interesting thing was, I think he described it as, it was obviously a pyramid, so triangular shaped, floating over the house, dark as the sky, vibration.
Yeah.
I remember that being a specific thing. It is weird. That guy might have been a little psychotic just the way his story went. Just like that. But those interesting connective attributes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's so
nodes
common.
Nodes of truth.
Nodes of truth.
And when we get back from the break, I did find so many corroborating accounts we're just going to do too. But in Independence, Missouri, where this account happened, where Ryan had his experience, and so many similar attributes.
Live mouth sound effects. This is very good.
I'm trying to do the bass.
Like a didgeridoo.
Good. Yeah, it sounds a little like a didgeridoo.
We should become monks.
We should become professional UFO sound makers.
I think there's a lot of call for that right now.
Let's try another one. Ready?
One, two, three.
What are you doing,
man?
It's a different kind of UFO.
No, that's just obnoxious.
Do you want to do another just regular?
I think we're done.
One?
I think we should take a break.
Okay, yeah, we're taking a break. Way to ruin it.
I thought it was a
Jeremy the Ruiner.
It's going in a unique direction.
Jeremy the Ruiner.
It's a terrible nickname.
That's his ancient god name, Jeremy the Ruiner.
Actually, that sounds kind of threatening.
That is
but when
terrifying.
You put Jeremy in front of it, it doesn't have a whole lot of.
Especially like an ancient god with that name.
Jeremy the Ruiner.
The ancient.
And this is the god Jeremy.
It's such like a modern. I always used to think of like Jeremy.
My first girlfriend's sister always called me Germ.
It's cute.
Germ.
In an endearing way. It wasn't like I was dirty.
Well, let's take a break. When we get back, we're going to do a corroboration of Ryan's account and then Jeremy, right? We're getting into
Bailey's.
Jeremy, the Ruiner. We're going to get into Bailey's flying humanoid stuff, right?
What's on the expansion docket?
So as I referenced earlier, it's going to piggyback off of Bailey's encounter because we are going to get into some weird humanoid, flying humanoids in the expansion, but it ties in with these butterfly people. So on the experience in Joplin, the tragedy that happened there, the twister that killed 160 plus people, awful homes, buildings destroyed, totally erased this town. But you had all these weird stories of these children witnessing what they called the butterfly people. And some people refer to them as angels. But we'll get into that.
That'd be a cool little documentary to do.
Oh, for sure. And what's fascinating too is it's obviously tied to this real life tragedy. And that connects to obviously Mothman with the
bridge collapse.
Yeah, the
Ohio
bridge.
Bridge.
The Silver Bridge.
Silver Bridge,
yeah. That collapse. And then there are all these other Mothman sightings I'd never heard of, or winged creature sightings.
There's a bunch.
Chernobyl, supposedly. 9/11, supposedly. There were sightings of a winged creature, a harbinger. So whether it's a harbinger or an angelic savior, whatever these things are, maybe there's different entities.
Maybe they're fighting each other.
Maybe they're fighting. Maybe some are darker. Maybe some are feeding off the energy and some are there to prevent it. Who knows? But we're going to get into it. It's going to be really interesting and I'm excited for it. So guys, if you're not an expansion member yet, come on over to Bleeful.com, hit that expansion button and sign up. $5 a month, you get double the content, double the episodes.
Double your pleasure, double your fun.
I think we have like 40 plus episodes there now of full content, just like our regular episodes. So if you guys dig this, you want to support us, sign up there. We'd love to have you.
All right, we'll see you in a bit.
Pick up. Pick up. Pick up.
Hi. Thanks for calling the Believable Hotline.
Thank God.
Got a spooky story?
I do. I do. It's all real. They're outside.
No one's available to take your call, but you can leave your story at the sound of the tone.
No, 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 no. They're outside right now. They're outside. No.
Do you have a spooky story? Don't wait until it's too late. Give us a call. BeliefHole.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Hello. You have some corroborative accounts, right?
Yeah.
Corroborative.
A lot. I mean, there's a lot going on in Missouri.
Yes, there is. That's so weird, man, because that's my focus for Bailey's story, for all the expansion is Missouri.
So I want to do some corroboration around Ryan's account. These are some accounts of Triangular Craft in Missouri around the same time period, roughly.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
This first one, this occurred in 2011 on January 9th. About 4 years prior to Ryan's experience in the same town, Independence.
Oh, dude, 2011 in Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
That's when the Joplin tornado hit.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a weird story about Missouri.
You do?
I don't want to share it though right now.
When did you go to Missouri?
It was last night when I was out. It's kind
when you were
weird.
Out, when you went to Missouri?
No, there was a
quite a drive.
There was a girl down at Miller Dome that is from Missouri.
Oh,
what a synchronicity! That's crazy.
What is going on with
but
Missouri?
But then it gets weirder. Like I'm working on the Ruger film.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I got Mississippi and Missouri mixed up in my head. And I was like, are there bayous there? And this lady behind her started cracking up. And she's like, did you even go to school? Oh, my God. What is wrong with you?
Really?
And she just went, I was just like, you are the rudest person I've ever met. I was like, what are you doing? And she was just like pointing at me and laughing. It was the weirdest situation.
Wow. Did you hit her?
No, but it pissed me off. She was being so rude.
Yeah, that's funny. Shitty.
It was just out of nowhere. And anyways, that's my Missouri story.
That's great.
I didn't want to say it because
that was a great
my
story.
Geography was...
It was embarrassing. I thought New England was a state.
We all thought New England was a state mm-hmm. growing
I
up.
I admittedly am not good with you. I just...
I'm fascinated by regions of the world now, but when I was younger, it didn't click.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to, stick in my head or I just never experienced it. It wasn't that interesting.
If they had talked about fascinating, strange accounts in different places, I would have been all about geography. Now I love it.
We weren't taught, what I love about New Orleans and the bayou,
the culture.
The culture's so interesting, the landscape, but when you're looking at a map with shapes and dots,
you were just
it's
told,
not that interesting.
No. You were just told what Europe became a state.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just straight memorization.
That's why I think Chris and I thought growing up that New England was a state.
Yes.
Do you think that growing up?
Yes.
Do you think that now still?
Maybe.
There's something about Northwest High School.
So this is the thing. This is my defense for that. New England is not a state. It's a group of states in the Northeast. It's like Maine, Massachusetts, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
But growing up, when you learn all the states and you hear New England reference
like
all the time.
Midwest or something?
Yeah. But you never hear anyone say when you're talking about all the states and people reference New England and it sounds like a state like New Hampshire, North Carolina.
New Jersey.
No one tells you, by the way, New England not being a state. No one says New England, the region. They just say New England when they're referencing an area up in... So you just assume it's like New York. It's just like New Hampshire. That's my defense.
It's one of those things that you kind of have to infer.
I've never been there either. I had no...
That's the one area of the country I've never been
to. Yeah, I've been up to Maine. I'd love to go to Maine. But I mean, I dated girls, but everybody seems to have a...
You dated girls?
I dated girls once.
Cool.
Tell us about that.
This is in the long
this
before
This is your
time.
Listener story.
No, but each one I dated had at least one quirky thing that they completely didn't know or thought was different. For example, one girl I dated, I was at Gabriel Brothers or something, some secondhand clothing store with clothes that are kind of faulty.
And I was like, oh, this shirt's cool. And she pulled it off. She looked at the tag. She goes, you can't get this. And I was like, why? She's like, it was made in the Banana Republic. Which I thought was awesome. Yeah, she was great. Brilliant. She was like a valedictorian, but that one thing she just missed, you know?
Yeah.
And the last one I'll say is this other girlfriend I had, she was great, but she thought the reason we shot rockets at Cape Canaveral is because that was where the hole in the ozone layer was that you could escape.
Oh my gosh.
Is that awesome?
She, again, was a very smart person.
I feel better about my Mississippi-Missouri mix.
Everyone's got their like weird, when you're talking to a friend, you're like, wait, what did you just say? Yeah. What do you think? Everyone's got those.
Send
things.
Them in. Be a fun episode.
I went and ate thigh with my mom last week.
What? What? What did you say?
You ate thigh?
No. This is a story about a girl from one of my friends.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, okay.
Wait, she said, I ate thigh with my mom?
I ate
like
thigh.
Chicken thigh?
No, like thigh.
Okay.
Oh, man.
That's amazing.
He's like, I had thigh.
Definitely a Ohio mistake.
I feel like you have a podcast of just of faux pas, just like accidental things that are thought wrong.
Definitely.
Thinking wrong.
All right, let's get to the corroboration. Let's take to the skies, boys.
This is vertical skyship, 3 football fields long.
December 22nd in Independence, Missouri. A friend and I had left a local shopping center and turned west on US Highway 24 when my buddy asked me if I knew what the 3 white lights were in the sky. As I looked up, I saw 3 bright white lights in a triangle formation. Looking closer, I saw a faint outline of a triangular object in the sky. It was almost the same color as the night sky, almost a matte black in finish. The object was approximately 3 football fields in width across, and between 2 to 3 stories in height.
That's massive.
All sides were equal in size and slightly rounded. The object, after we noticed it, was stationary for about a minute and then started to bank left. In the blink of an eye, it quickly flattened out and headed west, following US 24 highway at a high rate of speed. I kept driving west, and within about 20 to 30 seconds, it was no longer in sight. There was no sound of the object whatsoever. My friend and I are still in complete shock and amazement at what we saw. I have been around aircraft since I was a child and kept up with the new aircraft technology. At this time, there are no aircraft in the US or any other country with these capabilities or of this magnitude
that we know of.
Yeah,
could be secret space program.
It's funny, reminds you of the report that finally came out.
Did it come out?
Yeah.
What was on?
Basically, they said there were, I think, 144 around there accounts that they looked at, and only one were they able to explain, which was a deflating balloon. They're pretty sure 143 accounts were just not explainable. They said there's no evidence to show it's extraterrestrial, but they're not ruling it out. And they also said, could be China, could be Russia, but we don't have evidence for that either. So basically nothing. And I thought one of the most telling things was they said, could it be a US project? It could be, but we don't have evidence for that. What's interesting to me is that the Pentagon made this report, and the Pentagon statement is, could be a US project. Wouldn't they be the ones that are supposed to know?
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, obviously there's dark projects.
Well, I was going to say too, the way our intelligence agencies work, there's so many bureaus now, and they all seem to do their own thing.
Compartmentalized.
And they're all highly top secret. So it's possible CIA, NSA, who knows?
Absolutely.
Some black aeronautics project.
Something deep in the military industrial complex.
Maybe one of those intelligence agencies has black projects. They have NASA. You know, they just have these enormous
officers.
Budgets that we don't know where they go. So it definitely could
be. I think it's likely. And my personal opinion is there's a mix of something ET or interdimensional or inner earth going on with probably black budget projects with reverse engineered craft.
Bob Lazar.
But what I thought was fascinating about the fact that they made that statement, like an open admission, and maybe they've been sort of open about that before, but in such a large format of saying, this could be a US project, and we're the Pentagon telling you we don't know. It's stated boldly.
Didn't Bob Lazar say that the craft that he was working on or dealing with was UFO?
Yeah, reverse engineered.
His impression was that it was extraterrestrial just because there was absolutely no way we would have an understanding of how it could work.
Right. So they were reverse engineering when he was a part of that, which is still one of the most compelling, I think, accounts to this day of someone that obviously has high level of expertise, proof to back up his
claims,
his ability to understand the concepts. And,
and proof of the attempt at silencing him.
Right.
Thanks to George Knapp, he dug up that registry. And if you guys are interested and you haven't heard it, definitely check out season 1 towards the end. We did a pretty deep dive on Bob Lazar and his account.
Was that season 1?
I think it was season 1.
But no, I think you're right to that point about the Pentagon. It's almost like, could there be some white hats?
or just someone that's like, we have to tell people a little, like just the hint that it could be other US projects. We're just the Pentagon. We don't know.
Yeah, we're the,
That's like hinting that,
scary thought.
That it is deeper and darker and more, like you said, compartmentalized than the American people would. Because usually they want to present a cohesive nation, right?
Right.
But it's almost like that they're throwing those little tidbits
out. Maybe that was the whole point.
Maybe.
To like let people know, hey, this we don't even know exactly what's going on in our own country
right.
as far as potential
projects.
Side projects. And maybe it's us and we're just not telling you.
That's a subtle thing because I haven't heard anyone else. They've reported on, it could be ETs. They're not saying. But that's interesting because I haven't heard that someone mentioned that specifically that they said it could be US.
It's written in there with everything else just kind of in passing. But it's a really telling point. And again, overall, the report comes out how we all predicted.
Yeah.
We're not going to learn anything. Right. Not in particular. The only thing we know.
It's still just a question mark.
Is that it's a question. Yeah. Okay, so last corroboration here and then we'll get to Bailey's winged humanoid. Jeremy, you want to read this one?
Sure.
Again, this comes from Independence, Missouri.
I was driving home from work about 3:30 a.m., October 28th, 2007. I was headed north on the Blue Ridge Cutoff and turned right onto Blue Ridge Boulevard. About the third house on the left had a ham radio antenna. Right on top was a triangular-shaped UFO hovering right on top of the antenna. I pulled over for a few seconds. It was black with no numbers. I thought at first that it might be attached to the antenna. However, the antenna was not bending. I continued down Blue Ridge Boulevard towards my house. It was facing a westward direction. When I got to the corner of Blue Ridge Boulevard and Cedar Avenue, there was a second one hovering just above the treetop on Cedar Avenue.
The eerie.
Which was a few feet north of my car. I pulled to the side to observe the object. It was triangular just like the first one. It was just hovering in a stationary position. Both were black in color and appeared to be made of stealth composite type material. It was completely triangular, not like the F-22, which has some other shapes on edge. I sat there in my car for about 20 minutes watching it. The bottom was smooth. After looking at the bottom for about 10 minutes, I noticed a couple of very faint circular areas, which I assume were where landing gear was. The object did not move up or down at all the whole time I was watching. I was trying to figure out how it was able to hover. Finally, I rolled down my window and listened to see if I could hear something. I was barely able to hear anything except for what sounded like an engine revving at extremely high RPM. The thing would not move while I was sitting there, so I decided to circle the block to get a different view. By the time I circled the block, it was moving in a westerly, slightly north direction at about approximately 25 or 30 miles per hour at the same height as it was hovering, approximately 30 feet off the ground. I could not see a cockpit of any kind from my angles of view. It was not a helicopter.
Okay, what's interesting to me about this is stealth bombers. That would be the closest thing I can imagine, like the Delta shape craft that we have. I don't think they can hover. Or at least they couldn't in 2007, whenever this is. Because that'd be my first thought. If I was going to try to explain, it would be the stealth bomber. I've seen those go over. They make a kind of a warbling sound.
Well, there's a TR-3B. That's the classic triangular shape.
Right. But also, hovering over someone's house, right above the ham radio antenna, is just an eerie visual. And the fact that there were two there, and they were just sitting above people's homes.
It's super creepy to think about.
You know, are they taking people?
Are they listening?
This reminds me of Ryan's story, or Shane's story, where is this an abduction scenario? Mm-hmm. This guy happens to come upon. For some reason, they're not cloaked completely. He can make out the outline in this matte black. Interesting. Creepy. Yeah. Very creepy.
Also reminds me of hippos.
Sure.
I don't know why, but it reminds me of a large mammal. I don't know, this sounds weird, but I picture like there's one, maybe like a small predator in an area. Mm-hmm. And then say elephants, large animals come in and they just kind of like sit on it. You know what I mean? Like they'll just kind of block it from their young. They can't attack it, but they'll just be this imposing force. It just reminds me of these crafts. I mean, this is a really weird analogy.
It is.
But do you know what I mean? Like these things hover and they're just exude dominance, just sitting on top. Mm-hmm. Maybe this guy was blasting out of like a conspiracy podcast about aliens and they just sat on it. No,
whoever had the radio was the predator or the invader or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Weird.
I know. Weird analogy. John's just looking at me like, what are you talking about?
All right. Well, that wraps it up for the listener stories I have, but you want to finish it up with a pretty incredible account by Bailey, right?
Yes. This comes from Bailey. It's a classic winged humanoid encounter and this will take us into the expansion, but let's share this story here because it is fascinating. So this also takes place in Missouri. What's interesting about this is like you have the classic flying humanoid and then you have some supernatural elements to it as well. Fascinating correlations and corroborations with other accounts I found in the area that we'll get into, but I'll bullet point those so you can see how they align and we might tell someone in the expansion. So this happened in June of 2019 in Joplin, Missouri, between 7 and 8 p.m., driving from Springfield, Missouri to Kansas City, Missouri. She was driving, and this is important, she was driving a 2005 Chevy Blazer, the two-door, the S10 body style, and she uses that as a tool for measuring this thing later on.
Smart.
So normally she drives this route taking Highway 13 through Bolivar and Clinton, but on this night, there were tornado warnings.
Again, tornadoes.
Well, this is like, I think it's on the edge of Tornado Alley. And so her stepfather told her to go through Joplin instead. And that sets the scene.
It was not dark yet. It usually gets dark between 8:30 and 9 this time of year, but it was somewhere between 7 and 8. While the tornadoes weren't going to be in my route, there were scattered thunderstorms. At the time of my sighting, it was in between one storm and just before another. I mention this for a couple reasons. One, because I think there's some correlation between the electric charges of a thunderstorm and the ability to see this creature. I have no idea why I suspect this. And two, I acknowledge that while it was not dark, it was gray due to the storm. I was driving down the highway, going a little slower than the limit of 70 due to the wetness of the road. If I were to guess, I'd say 50 or 55 miles an hour. I did not see the creature until he was pretty much right over me. I say he because that's the feeling I got. The creature was flying over me perpendicular to my direction and over to my right into the wooded area next to the highway. The sunroof was closed, but I had the shade pulled back so it was just glass for me to look through. And this thing came so close over top of my vehicle that I could see, close up, the texture of his wings through my driver's window and sunroof.
Well,
I do not remember any feet or arms, and I did not see the head. The only part of the anatomy I saw, besides the wings, was a small quadrant of the torso region. I'm guessing it was somewhere above the navel.
They have navels?
If there was even a navel. And before the pectoral region is, I did not see anything like human nipples. The wingspan of this creature had to be between 12 and 16 feet. I mean, I'm not great with measurements, but the creature easily could have had the tip of one wing down on the ground and in front of my car and the other tip on the ground behind my car, providing it had been in park and it were not flying. And remember, this is tip to tip, perpendicular to me, not parallel. My point is, it was like my car was entirely enveloped in his wings, even though it was for a split second.
So she's describing if the thing took its wings perpendicular to the way she was driving, the wings could cover from her hood to the back of her car.
Wow.
That's how long this thing was, so 12 to 16 feet.
But what I find the most interesting is the apparent control the creature seemed to have over my state of mind. As this was happening, I was not scared. I was so completely calm. Now, not calm as in soothed or comforted, but calm as if I were just looking at a field of cows or something instead of a huge creature that's supposedly not supposed to exist in our dimension. I know I saw the wings with my real and sober eyes, but his head, I believe, I only saw in my mind shortly after he passed over and via some kind of control or telepathy, as if he was planting it there. The head was less human than the body. It was kind of elongated triangle or diamond shaped, not exactly, but in an exaggerated way. Anyway, I remained unaffected by my sighting until I had gotten about 30 to 50 miles more down the road. Weird. That's when the holy shit and what the fuck started. Pardon my language, I'm gonna assume you've heard it before. Further down the road, I pulled over. I wanted to see if anyone in the area had seen anything like I just had. But I didn't want to describe it in my Google searches to not manipulate the results, so I just Googled cryptid sightings near Joplin, Missouri.
One moment. Here's what I found.
Interestingly, the search yielded a bunch of articles about children seeing what they described as butterfly people who protected them from the rubble during the devastating 2011 tornado which demolished the Joplin area. That'll be a fun one to get into.
Yeah.
I want to point out one distinction in this creature's defense. I was never terrified, even after the encounter when I realized what happened. I got absolutely zero evil or demonic feelings associated with him, and I have been proven over time to be able to really trust my intuition involving the supernatural. I wanted to mention this because the sightings I've heard talk about, people screaming like lunatics and being traumatized to their core, or calling it a demon. Perhaps they are seeing something different than I did, or perhaps they just haven't had to cope with other paranormal or worldview-shattering experiences and are thusly more threatened.
Yeah, so fascinating account. So the thing with the Bailey's kind of mentioning there at the end is she's had frequent experiences with the paranormal in her past. Oh. And we talked about this before, the idea that some people are just kind of magnets, mm-hmm. and that's the way she describes it. She feels like she's been kind of a magnet, and oftentimes it's with other witnesses that are there that have encountered things with her.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to get some corroboration from people she's with for some of the accounts.
Yeah, because she refers to herself as a contactee, but as far as humanoid cryptids go, other than seeing a Glimmer Man, which is a crazy story in itself, this is the only one that she's seen in Joplin.
Quick question about that. The creature, it didn't sound much like a winged humanoid. It just sounded like a large winged creature.
Well, she saw the torso, which looked humanoid to her, and then, of course, the wings. However the torso appeared, that was obviously humanoid to her. It said pectoral region, so you got your pecs going.
But she didn't see nipples or a navel.
Yeah.
It'd be a giant bat.
Maybe the nipples were covered.
You know what?
They're trying to be a little respectful.
I like the gesture there, covered.
Like with Band-Aids.
Yeah, like he was performing later at the VMAs or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so
that was a dumb comment, sorry.
This reminds me of, it almost reminds me of like angels, going back to angels again. These kind of descriptions of entities that aren't born, right? Because mm-hmm. you need nipples and navels when you're born. You need to connect you to your mother and to—
If you're a mammal.
Yeah, if you're a mammal.
Why do you need nipples?
To feed your young.
Oh, you're talking about a female.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in males, we don't know. We got them because they—
We have no use for our nipples.
It is odd.
Yeah.
I guess it's because it's like the last thing
you could tell, like there's a cold breeze running outside.
Some men lactate.
They're a little more sensitive than mm-hmm. the rest.
Yeah, and I don't like
they're really useless pieces.
Like they're sensitive in a way that's just, like it feels weird.
Yeah, I don't like them.
It's not pleasant.
Not a fan of
them. Maybe some men dig it. Anyways.
My nipples.
Point
although is, it would look weird if we didn't have them.
Exactly.
Like not having eyebrows.
Yeah, they're meant for reproductive purposes.
Can you imagine seeing us without nipples yes, and no eyebrows?
Just like little,
just
we look like LL Cool J.
What?
He has no eyebrows. Remember we talked about that the expansion episode?
He looks like a Ninja Turtle.
Exactly. So he looks like a Ninja Turtle because he doesn't have the eyebrows.
I think he doesn't have eyebrows.
He's a very handsome man. Don't get me wrong. He just looks like a Ninja Turtle.
Googling LL Cool J eyebrows? ?
Dude, I swear if you Google that, it's one of the first things that pops up.
Oh my God, you're right.
Okay. Anyways, beautiful man. sorry.
The first response to this prompt is LL Cool J's face and head getting weirder from the blemish, whatever that is.
Okay.
I love LL Cool J. We're not knocking on LL.
Mom loves LL Cool J too.
You love, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Okay, back to Bailey's story. My point, without the nipples and the navel, that got me thinking when John was questioning that, is that—
He used to have eyebrows.
Yes, he did. Is that in the Garden of Eden, the idea that if you were to find—
What happened to him?
If you were to somehow find Adam and Eve's body intact or whatever, mm-hmm. they would not have navels because they weren't born, right? They were created. And it just reminds me of the idea of the angel, or people refer to these, especially in Joplin, when the tornado happened, they were seeing these angels. Angels wouldn't have navels. They wouldn't have nipples.
You know who else wouldn't?
Isn't that interesting though?
It is, but you know who else wouldn't? Pterodactyls. And I think this might be the case of an ancient pterosaur.
I don't know.
Because there's tons of those sightings.
Taking Bailey at her word,
mm-hmm.
seeing it as a human thorax, or the torso area, thorax is insect, human torso, we can get her opinion on that, but I don't know, maybe not human, but humanoid. And as we'll get into the expansion, corroborating accounts, they saw a fuller version of it where it had long legs, muscular calves. So these other accounts, I'll bullet point these here real quick for you, and we'll get into some of these in the expansion.
Maybe you can play some fast montage music over it.
Turkey Creek Flying Humanoid, 2018, 2 hours from Bailey's sighting, a year before. A woman named Sheila in Humansville, interesting name for what she saw, wings about the same span, 15 feet, said it could have enveloped her town and country van, had human-esque looking legs hanging down, right? But the wings were the same, leathery. Cape Girardeau, sorry, I'm not pronouncing that right, Missouri, 2020, so the year after, 5 hours away from where Bailey was, two different accounts of the same creature in this town. Giant wings, dark black brown body, same kind of thing. Scrawny legs, muscular at the calf. Its head, she added, was, quote, really little and round, kind of pointed but round. Oh, very similar to diamond shape. Bailey's with a diamond shape at the pointed top. And the last one here I have referenced, this is an account we will do in the expansion. It's two duck hunters, a father and son, saw a large flying humanoid 5 hours away from Bailey in 2016, so 3 years earlier. They were duck hunting in West Alton, Missouri. Wingspan approximately 12, 15 feet, exact same size that Bailey suggested.
Yeah.
Head small compared to the body and kind of shaped like a football with a slight point at the top, just like Bailey. Not knowing this encounter, she had the same visual representation in her mind of what that head would have looked like, kind of diamond-shaped, elongated, like what? A football. So that's just interesting. This is all happening in Missouri, guys. If you want to see a flying humanoid, I say go to Missouri.
Dinosaur.
You will find it or him. And let us know how that goes. But we're going to get into some of the stories in the expansion. We're going to talk about the tornado, the tragedy, and the butterfly people that were seen. Is this the same thing? Is it a different phenomena? I don't know. We're going to find out.
Wow,
it's going to be
fast,
interesting.
Jeremy. Very fast.
Sorry, I was just trying to, I wanted to get through some of that information before we left.
Cool.
All right, let's do the stinger.
Okay, we got a stinger for DJ.
And then we'll wrap up with the thank yous.
Yeah, so we got some new expansion members to call out.
We got a stinger for DJ, finally.
What?
DJ Benson.
It's for you, buddy.
Escaping California, cause he hates it.
So true.
On the road, to Utah, protecting his wife Alyssa from shapeshifters. known to be in Utah.
Skinwalkers, man.
With his trusty dog Scarlet, he's on the road to being far from where the days are long and hard. The stage is set for him to start a new life with new adventures, with dreams to catch and no surrender. Another chance, another day to find the road to heavenly. DJ Benson, he's the man. He's the man. DJ Benson, he got a plan. He got a plan. DJ Benson, he's my friend. He's my friend. DJ Benson. Till the end.
He's eternal.
That was great, John.
He's a turtle.
Good work on that one.
That was really good.
Thank you, DJ, for your support. You beautiful man, yes. And your friendship.
And good luck with your trip.
Yes.
Leaving closed down California for brighter, bigger pastures.
Hugs to Alyssa and Scarlett.
Good luck, sir, on your journey. Off with you.
All right. That was great, John.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was really good.
We got some thank yous to do. I hope you guys enjoyed this Strange Listener Stories episode. It was one of my favorites so far.
Yeah.
To hear some more, go ahead and check our catalog of episodes. We've got, I think this is number 8. So we've got 7 more rich story episodes for you to hear. And we want to thank some other special people right now, our new expansion members.
Cool. Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you to James Wood. Hey, I remember
James
him.
James Woods.
That sounds like the actor guy.
Yeah.
Not him. Thank you. Thank you to Isabel Johnson.
All right, Isabella, thank you.
Yes.
Alex.
Excellent.
Yes.
E-L-E-X.
Alex, interesting.
That's a cool name.
Sounds like an airport.
Yes.
Thank you to Corey Cooper.
Welcome in, Cor.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
Come on in.
Cooper Trooper.
Cooper Trooper.
Bianca.
Hey, Bianca.
Bianca.
Thanks for being here. Thank you to Ella Light.
Shine some light on our holes.
She has a light body.
I mean, you know, the belief holds.
Okay, weird. Thank you to Damon Carter.
Yes.
Damon.
Thanks again, Damon. Thank you to Anthony Peterson.
Patterson.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Jenna can't read
or get it right or pay the price.
Thank you to Anthony Patterson. Good
welcome.
To have you here.
Yes. Ooh, Mad Max, finally in the hole.
Mad Max.
We've been waiting for you.
That was my AOL username in like 2001.
He can help us if the world ends.
Yes, he's very capable. Thank you to Teresa Birch.
Like hey, Teresa.
A birch tree.
Yes.
Sturdy and strong. Thank you to Rocky.
Rocky.
1-2 punch.
Combo.
Thank you to Dakota.
All right.
It's hey, a Dakota. State.
That is a state. I remember that one. Thank you to Jason Sloan.
All right.
Jason Sloan.
Taking out loans of truth. Welcome to Waxwing Slain.
Waxwing Slain. That is
an awesome
real?
Name. That is an awesome
that
name.
That can't be real.
It sounds like a superhero.
Waxwing
that flies.
It's the name of the flying human.
Yeah.
Thank you, Waxwing Slain.
Thanks for being here.
Cool excellent. Name.
Yes.
Thank you to Jenny McGillivary.
McGillivary.
Welcome to the hole.
Bouncy name. I like that.
Thanks for being here.
We love you.
Melodic.
Yes!
Gustavo Campos.
All right.
Welcome to the hole.
Welcome in, my man.
God, there's some zest in that one. I like that.
Gustavo.
Excellent.
Welcome to Jace Scholler.
Welcome to Jace.
Jace.
Yes. I mean, welcome, Jace.
Yes.
Well, I'm giving welcome to Jace.
Okay. Yes.
Welcome, Jace.
Yes.
Good to have you. Welcome in.
Yes.
Jessica Butler, come on in.
All right. Come on. The door's open for you, Jessica. We left some cookies on the counter.
You may have those and then buckle them to us.
Munch, munch.
Excellent.
Welcome to Jason Valentine.
Welcome, Jason Valentine.
Jason Valentine has been communicating with us.
Oh, he's a regular talker on the hole. We love him.
Every day is a Valentine's Day with Jason.
It's a little card opening up and saying hello. How are you?
Thank you for joining
you
the hole.
You are our Valentine.
Yes.
Thank you to Lori Sillis.
Yes.
Right,
hey, Lori. Lori.
Yes.
I feel silly when I think of you, Lori.
Yes.
All right, Brittany, thank you for joining.
Welcome, Brittany. Welcome to the hole.
Come on in. Welcome to Michael Salaturo.
Stephen.
Stephen Michael Salaturo.
Oh, man, yes. I'm just missing names here.
You're not doing great.
Stephen Michael Salaturo. Thank you so much, my friend.
Welcome to the hole.
We appreciate your support.
Meet Corey Marlowe.
Come on down.
Corey, what is up?
Yes.
Remember that Christmas night with Charles Dickens? Never mind.
What?
Yes.
Marlowe.
Excellent.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Desmond Sanchez.
Thank you, Desmond, for joining the hole. Yes, welcome.
Yes.
Karen Cleary.
Karen Cleary.
You are one in a million.
It's clear. Don't steer Cleary of Karen Cleary. She's clearly
a good friend to have.
Danny the pool man.
Danny Poolman.
That's an awesome name.
I want a pool so he can come and clean it.
Danny Poolman. Welcome, my friend. Lena M.
Lena M.
Hey, Lena.
Mm-mm, yes. Good.
Salutations, Lena.
All right.
Almost done here. Terry Zorko.
Zorko.
Yes.
Is he a magician? Fantastic. The great Zorko.
The great Zorko.
Welcome to the hole, buddy.
Welcome.
Oh, and we have a special supporter, Minette.
Oh, Minette.
Yes.
Minette,
thank you. She's the game. You guys saw our live stream. Or it wasn't on the live stream yet. On our Instagram, we posted amazing picture of this alien Mona Proxima.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Beautiful painting.
You're
you guys should check that out.
Great artist.
Thank you so much. That was real sweet.
Excellent.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
All right.
We got through the list this time.
All right.
Thank you guys so much for being here, for supporting us. Those of you that can't be expansion members and can't get all the awesome extra content yet, you can support us through reviews. That really, really helps. Share with your friends. Share the show. It's the only way we're really going to grow is word of mouth. That's the best way to do it. Keep spreading the whole, putting it out there.
Also, do we have that Amazon link on?
Yeah, I don't know how effective that is. One way you might be able to help us, guys, we have a recommended books list that we get a little bit of change. If you're looking to buy some new books or stuff, come to our website, click on
the
links.
The affiliate.
Yeah, it's like an affiliate Amazon link. We don't get much, but it's something. If you're going to buy any books, do it there.
Special thanks also. Last thanks I want to give is to Fancy Crafts? Spicy Crafts?
Oh, Fancy Crafts.
Fancy Crafts for the awesome illustration you did.
Very cool.
Anybody gets inspired and wants to send in an awesome
fan art,
we're making a page for that on our site as well.
Yeah, we've had some great fan art from you guys sending in it, so we're about to build that page. Also, highlighted artists, just people we talked to that sent us stuff on Instagram.
Also, possible merch.
Anyways, thank you guys so much for being here.
Yeah.
Come join us in the expansion if you feel saucy enough.
Yeah, let's hear about some butterfly people, some other flying humanoids.
And some creepier stuff, too. There's some creepy stuff in there as well.
Oh, you got some dark flyers, huh?
Well, anything flying that's kind of bat-like reptilian. And it's going to be a little freaky.
Close encounters?
It'll be an interesting balance there.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Until next time, we will see you on...
The Belief Hole.
The Belief Hole. Hey.
When I'm sleeping with someone new, I just close my eyes and think of you.
Joplin, Missouri, like I said, where the...
Named after Janice?
I knew you were going to say that. I just knew it was going to be... It's just low-hanging fruit, John.
I just keep thinking that every time you say the word.
Well, interestingly, her great-grandfather was the founder of Joplin, Missouri, so good. You had a good call.
Really?
No. I have no idea. Probably not.
You stinky boo.
I'm a stinky boo. okay.
<That's weird>.
Oh, my. Strange. That's staying in there.
You get a girlfriend.
I'm a stinky boo.
You have to cut that out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.